Well, all year long so far, every time I've gotten up here on a Sunday morning, we've begun with the same promise, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 11, where God said, you're already blessed, right here, right now, already blessed, you've never lacked a thing, but may the God of your fathers bless you 1,000 times more, just as he promised. So we've been talking about God's ability to bless his people 1,000 times more. Not about money, at least not only, but 1,000 times more influence, 1,000 times more favor on your life, 1,000 times more peace at your house, 1,000 times more joy in your soul, 1,000 times better quality of life all across the board. God can do it. And he's going to do that to somebody in this church before the end of the year. This year has been all about believing God for 1,000 times more blessing on our life. And we've talked about some of the ways God can bless his people. And we've realized that there are ways God has of blessing his people that we yet have no idea about. That's how much he can bless us. We've even talked about how he can use our enemies to bless our lives. Just ask David. When David needed to be promoted, God did not send him a best friend. God sent him an enemy. And if it had not been for an enemy, David probably would never have found his way to the throne of Israel. And today, I want to talk about another way God has of blessing us. And it's in Psalm 91. We'll begin there with verse 11. And it says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. The angels of God have been given charge over you to keep you in all your ways. One of the ways God blesses us because we're his people is by divine protection. That's what I want to talk to you about today. None of us would be here today if it were not for God's divine protection. The many near misses we've had in our life, many of which you don't even know, you're not even aware. But one way God protects his people is he gives his angels charge over us and says, you keep him safe today. You guard him, you protect him, you defend him. And in fact, in the Amplified Bible, that's exactly what it says. God commands his angels to protect, defend, and guard you. They will lift you up in their hands. The Message translation says, God orders his angels to guard you wherever you go. Their job is to keep you from falling. Angels are very important. Probably the most undervalued, the most underestimated, and perhaps the most misunderstood benefit we have as being children of God. We don't see them usually, so therefore we're not aware of their presence. And they're standing beside us at their post of duty, protecting, defending, and guarding us. It is their job to keep us from falling. Now, angels are mentioned almost 300 times in the Bible. They interacted with human beings on earth. And many times when you see the word angel in Scripture, you will also see this phrase right there together, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. Now, can we talk for just a few minutes this morning about angels without being spooky or weird? I hope so. Because angels are very real. So are demons. I'm not going to talk much about them. I'll tell you why in a minute. But here's the truth. Everything natural and visible is influenced by that which is spiritual and invisible. There are forces at work in the supernatural arena, the realm we cannot see with our natural eyes. Good forces and evil forces are battling over our heads always. So I do believe in the devil. If you don't believe the devil exists, drop the D. I heard somebody say one time, surely you can't deny there's evil in the world. But there is spiritual warfare going on over our heads. I want to share just a few things this morning that can make a difference in how well your angels are working for you. Sometimes our angels get lazy. They go to sleep on the job. They punch out, take a coffee break. They're not working for us like they are intended to work. And in some measure, we're responsible for how well our angels work for us. Now, there was a time where every spirit in the universe was a right spirit. Every spirit was a holy spirit. God created everything that there was, and He called it all good. It was all right. Even the earth was so much like heaven, God was comfortable walking on the earth with Adam and Eve every day. All of that changed when sin entered the picture. That began when Lucifer, who was a high-ranking angel, rebelled against God. He was lifted up in pride, and instantly, the Bible says, he fell from heaven like lightning. And his name was no longer Lucifer. He was no longer the beautiful angel he had been created to be. He became Satan. And when he rebelled against God, listen to this, when Lucifer became Satan and rebelled against God, he led a rebellion of all of the angels, and one third of the angels rebelled with him and fell, one third. Now, two thirds, the good news, remained faithful. Two thirds of all of the spirit beings God created remained then and still remain today faithful and obedient to the will of God in heaven and on earth. So that means I'm not too concerned about any devil that's been assigned to me, because I have twice as many angels guarding me as I have enemies against me. Twice as many angels as there are demons in the universe. 2 to 1. That's good news right there. Next time you feel like a devil is after you, Write this on your shoe, 2 to 1. Because that's where he is. It's under your foot. That's where he'll read it best, on the bottom of your foot. 2 to 1. God pays double for your trouble. 2 to 1. Angels over demons. So I don't care that much about devils. Now, I remember back in the 80s, 90s, maybe it was just me, but I think in large part it was the move of God all over the world at that time. There was a lot of teaching, a lot of emphasis on demonology and demons. And some of you may have come through camps where they shook bushes and thought behind every bush there was a devil. And all of it was spooky. It was weird a little bit, but it was something we grew through, many of us. We grew through that. And I remember reading this verse of Scripture back when I was feeling my oats as a believer, as we are, and the spiritual authority God has given all of us. It was almost like there was a season where it said, come on, devil! You know, you remember if you went through that. But I stumbled upon a verse of Scripture Paul wrote to his son Timothy in the Lord. And it said, in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. And I remember thinking, you know, I believe I've been guilty of a little bit of that. I mean, I haven't departed from the faith, but I have certainly enjoyed doctrines of devils too much. And I made an adjustment in my own spirit, in my own mind back then. I'm not going to care that much about devils and what they're up to, because 2-1, we have an advantage over devils. Now, it's true, the enemy has assigned a demon perhaps to you to hinder you, to interrupt you, to frustrate and confuse you, and all, but they are so limited. And you need to leave here today reinforced with the truth that no matter what a devil has for you in terms of harm, your angels overpower him 2-1, and they're at their post. They have been given charge over you to protect you. It's divine protection. It's one way God blesses. I tell you what, this year, if no other area, I hope I'm 1,000 times more blessed with divine protection. The many times I've been in a car and almost had a head-on collision, it may have been an angel just nudging nudging that reckless driver back on his side. You never. The few times I've been in an airplane when I didn't like the ride. Angels. The Bible says that we are hedged about with watchmen, angels that are deputized by God and dispatched from heaven to earth, and their assignment is for our divine protection. Psalm 34 and verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord, there it is, the angel of the Lord, encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The many times I've been in a jam, I've been in a tight place, and I needed to be rescued, and an angel came to my deliverance. That's part of the blessing of God on the life of believers, is divine protection, and we need to be more aware of angels that are guarding and protecting us. Now, biblically, our angels have the same job description as Secret Service agents who protect the president. They're assigned to protect the prez. Angels are our spiritual bodyguards. The Secret Service men that are around Donald Trump in Japan this morning are trained to take a bullet for the president if they need to. Listen to me. Your angel will take a bullet for you if he has to. God has charged your angel, has commanded them, deputized them, dispatched them, and an assignment on their heads is to guard, protect, and defend the children of God. You may not be able to see most of them, but they're very real, and we're alive and well today in part because of divine protection that angels give us. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 14, it says that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who inherit salvation. Now, we are the heirs of salvation. We're the ones who inherit salvation. And so the angels minister to us and for us. The word minister there is simply to serve. Angels are at our service. Angels serve you and minister to you because we are heirs of salvation. We do not serve angels. They serve us. We are not jealous of angels. They are jealous of us. On the food chain, we are higher than angels. It is God, and then it is us right beneath God. And angels come somewhere underneath us in the chain. We do not serve them, they serve us. We do not minister to angels, They minister to us and for us. Now, angels are not always invisible, but they are usually incognito. Many times you may interact with an angel and you're not aware. The Bible speaks about be careful to entertain strangers, because in doing so, many times you will entertain angels that you're not aware of. I'm sure I've had some in my life. I've told you about the Santa Barbara, California County Jail, where Brenda and I spent a Saturday of our life driving to minister to a prisoner. I took a Bible for him, and I showed up at the prison, and the lady behind the glass said, "What's that in your hand?" I said, "A Bible. I want to get it too." And I called the man's name. "I'm here to visit your inmate." And she said, "Well, you can't give him that. You will be able to talk to him through a glass, but that is contraband. We don't accept that here." And I said, "Oh, okay." And I stepped back in a crowded waiting room, and a man who looked like he had was a member of Hell's Angels, actually. Long hair, rough, just came walking through the room and came straight up to me and said, "Who's that for?" And I told him the prisoner's name. He said, "I'll get it to him within the hour. That's what I do." I said, "Well, thank you." And my friend in jail was given that Bible that very day. I found out 3 months later when I talked to him. And looking back, I didn't know then, it may have been an angel. I heard this morning a story of what may have been an angel. Be careful when you see a stranger that's blessing you, that's at the right place at the right time to deliver you or to minister to you. It may be an angel unaware. But Justin and Amber Pearson are in Dollywood today. They're having a great time up there, but Amber yesterday became violently sick at Dollywood. Let me begin throwing up, just horribly sick. And immediately, as she was throwing up, the thought occurred to her, if I were at home, I've got the best medicine the doctor has prescribed for me. If I were at home, I could take that. And as soon as that thought ran through her mind, a woman walked up to her, a stranger, saw her sick, and pulled out of her purse, said, "Honey, this might be able to help you. My doctor prescribed this for me when I'm violently sick like you are," and it was the very same medication. And then the woman just disappeared. It may have been Dolly Parton. Just might have been. In a different wig. Angels are not always invisible, but usually incognito. They don't brag on the fact that they're angels. An angel went ahead of Israel in the Old Testament to guide them. An angel shut the lion's mouth and spared Daniel's life when he was in the den of lions. An angel brought food to a weak and starving prophet named Elijah that gave him super strength to continue on. An angel is the one who appeared to Mary and gave her the good news that God had chosen to favor her above all women, that she would get pregnant and give birth to the Son of God. An angel is the messenger who brought that good news to Mary. An angel appeared to the shepherds who were watching their flocks one night and gave them the good news and said, "Glad tidings to you. Unto you a Savior is born." An angel is the one who sent that message. An angel opened prison doors to let the Apostle Peter go free. And angels have fought and defeated entire armies of God's people over and over again. In Psalm 103 and verse 20, it says, "Bless the Lord, you His angels, who," this is so important, "excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, you His angels. I'm going to tell mine right now. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength. They perform His word and they heed the voice of His word. There's a difference. I'm getting ready to share it with you. First of all, they excel in strength. We've underestimated the benefit we have in the divine protection that these strong spiritual beings give us that are assigned to protect and defend and guard us. I remember as a small child growing up, I don't know if it's still on there or not like this. So if you, but about Superman, they said of him, faster than a, is it still on or no? Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a, able to leap in a single, there you go, Superman. I grew up in awe of Superman, you know. Disguised as mild-mannered Clark Kent. But yet, when there was a need and somebody was in trouble, he was transformed into Superman. He excelled in strength and he would show up just in the nick of time to spare disaster and destruction and death many times. Well, our angels are better than Superman. How much strength? The Bible says they excel in strength. How much strength does one angel have? Now, you have more than one. I've shared this with you before, so I'll quickly mention it again and move on. But the answer is found in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 36 that says this, then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians, that's God's enemies, 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So how much strength does one of your angels have? Just one of your angels can kill 185,000 men who are out to hurt you. They excel in strength. It is our divine protection. One of the ways God blesses us and can bless you 1,000 times more is divine protection and the ministry of angels. Imagine it, one man killing one angel killing 185,000 soldiers in the enemy's army. Now, David prayed and fasted for 21 days. 21 days he prayed and fasted. And finally, after 21 days, an angel came to him. Many times an angel is a messenger, just brings a message. Now, this is important. Here's where I'm going today. We're landing right here now. We've been flying, bumping around. We're landing right here. Because this is the message right here. Daniel prayed and fasted for 21. When's the last time you prayed and fasted for 20? I have never. But if you've ever fasted and prayed for 21 days, you had a real burden you were struggling with. Daniel was struggling with a burden, and he prayed and fasted for 21 days, and on the 21st day, an angel appeared to him with a message, and here is my message today, what this angel said to Daniel, I have come because of your words. I have come because of your words. That's what the angel said. He went on to say, oh, I heard your prayer the first day, 21 days ago when you started praying. I heard you then. But a powerful demonic spirit He called it the Prince of Persia, withstood me, hindered me from getting here. So the angel of the Lord said, in essence, so I call for backup. But now listen, the angel showed up to Daniel and said, I have come because of your words. Notice what the angel did not say. Daniel, I have come because you're in need. Didn't say that. Daniel, I have come because you've been good. Didn't say that. Daniel, I have come because you deserve it. No, didn't say that. Didn't even say, Daniel, I have come because God made me. Didn't say that. The angel said, Daniel, I have come because of your words. Now, we just read the verse, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. We're the ones in the earth who speak the voice of God's word. And when your angels hear your voice speaking the right words, which is God's word, they get to you quickly. That's the one thing we can do to make sure our angels are working at maximum capacity for our benefit. But the one thing we can do that will paralyze our angels is for our words to say something different than God's word says. And if you're not careful, you do it as a lifestyle. If you're not careful, saying things like, with your mouth, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet this month. Well, your angel hears that, and your angel's chomping at the bits to go to work for you. But when your angel hears your voice speak those words that are not the same words God speaks, then they fold their hands, doze off. They are paralyzed. But when your angels hear your voice speaking his word, isn't that what the Bible says? They heed the voice of his word. And you say, well, in the natural, it may not look possible, but with God, all things are possible. And by his goodness, every need I have is going to be supplied by the end of this month. Well, the angel, that's what they're waiting to hear. Well, I'm sad and tired, and I'm probably going to die sad and tired. Well, you probably will. Disappointments are inevitable, but misery is up to you if you want to be miserable. They heed the voice of his word. And so we should be careful. Now, Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the sword of the Spirit, that's a weapon we have in our hands, a spiritual weapon, is the word of God. It's like a sword in the Spirit. It's the word of God we speak. And then in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Bible teachers who are smarter than me, theologians who speak Greek, have said what that means is this: a two-edged sword, the word of God, a two-edged sword. It cuts on both sides. Both sides, the top and the bottom, are cutting edge sharp. And one edge is God speaking his word. The other edge is when we speak God's word. That's when the sword of the Spirit is sharpest and works best for us in our life. When with our mouth we say the same words that our angels hear, that they've heard God say in His Word. Now, the Bible says, you angels excel in strength. You perform God's Word, and you go to work when you hear a voice speaking His Word. So that two-edged sword is the Word of God. God speaking it from His mouth first, and we speaking it from our mouth. And when the angels hear our words that line up with God's Word, then they go to work for us. God's voice speaking His Word, our voice speaking the same Word. Simply put, it's like this. Our angels work for us when we say the same thing God says. But our angels are crippled when the words we speak contradict God's Word. Did you get it? So now, how can God bless you with 1,000 times more divine protection? You speak God's Word, no matter what your natural circumstance is. No matter how gloomy, how bad you feel, don't utter it. The words you speak are powerful. And if you don't think so, your angel does. So speak what God says about your situation. Let your angels say, hey, tell them, hey, angels, hey, you angels, bless the Lord, you, those of you who are assigned to me. And remember, you excel in strength now. And I got twice as many of you as I have devils chasing after me. So, you know, do what you're supposed to do. And our part to help them is speak God's Word. Not words of doubt or fear, but words of faith and hope and promise. It is God's Word. Our angels work for us when we say the same thing God says. But our angels are crippled, paralyzed, when the words they hear us speak contradict what they've heard God say. Now, the Bible says by our words, we are either justified or condemned. Well, your words are powerful. Your angels know it. Your angels, those that have been given charge to guard, protect, and defend you, they're waiting to hear you say the right thing. They're ready to be released by the word of the Lord they hear in your voice. They're waiting to hear you speak a word that confirms what God has said to them concerning your situation. The Bible says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. The power of life, the power of death. What makes the difference? Bible says it's the smallest little member, but it does the most damage. The Bible says if you can get that right, you're on your way to perfection. What the Bible says, it's the most unruly member, but that smallest of all members, the Bible says, like a ship rudder, that little thing in the back of a ship that steers that huge, massive vessel in this direction or that direction. You know, as huge as it is, its direction is determined by that small little rudder. Now, that's like our tongue. God gave us a confessor right here. It's our tongue. And we can use it powerfully for our advantage. And our angels are waiting for us to do it when we speak God's word to our situation. And then I'll close with this. David knew it. David had a sense of this. He understood the power of our words. And that's why he prayed, "Oh Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you." There's always been a connection between the faith in our heart and the words in our mouth. Always. You'll never be able to separate the faith that's in your heart and the words coming out of your mouth. That's why as a man speaketh, that reveals what's in his heart. For out of the mouth, the man speaks what's in his heart. A positive spin on that, the most positive, is that's how we're born again. That's how our salvation is settled. We believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead to save us, and we speak it with our mouth, by faith in our heart and by confession with our mouth. Our belief becomes our salvation. So there's no way to separate the faith working in your heart from the words you speak from your mouth. That's what David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O God." It takes both to be acceptable. You can't have one accepted without the other. Stand, if you will. Everybody.